Welcome to episode 2 of the Young Flamingo Club. I am Justin Purser, and I'm here with my co-host, Montana Mindy. Montana, did you ever think we would make it this far, all the way to an episode 2?
Definitely not. I thought after first episode that was all she wrote, but here we are on episode 2, and I'm actually kind of shocked.
Yeah, me too. This is, I think it's the most I've ever done, like with a project, the farthest I've ever made it. So I'm proud of us. And I'm also proud of our guests that you lined up. A friend of yours, Divya, who is a taxidermy artist, which I didn't even know was a real thing, but I learned so much. How do you know her?
Really interesting story, actually. I was watching TLC, something called like My Strange Addiction, and she was on the show. So I had looked her up online, and I actually friended her on Facebook. Then we started chatting, and then, you know, here we are almost a decade later. We're still pretty good friends.
Well, that's, you know, what's funny is that story is probably so common nowadays. Well, I should take that back. Not common in the sense that you watch TLC and then friends them on Facebook, but I think there's so many of us that have friends that we've met on Facebook. I think actually that's how you and I met. So this is very organic and stuff that she tells us about what she does in taxidermy is it's mind blowing.
It is mind blowing, and what's also mind blowing is me at 20 years old watching TLC, drinking a white chocolate mocha, friending people on Facebook. That was an insane time of my life at 20 years old.
I'm glad you did it. So let's do this. You ready? Let's get into this episode. And also, let's not forget that we should probably explain to our listeners how the show works. And how the show works is we have a list of questions. It's about 12 questions now, I think. We send them all to our guest, Divya, but we only pick 5. So they know the whole list, but they don't know which 5 is going to be picked, and neither do we.
Yeah, so we just kind of grab them out of the bowl, and Justin does, and we read them off.
Yep, and then at the end, Montana and I decide if the guest is going to become a member of the Young Flamingos Club. So listen to the outro, because that's where we'll decide. You ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
www.cvs.com.
I think that printer is sadly going to be more valuable than those shoes.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Young Flamingo Club. We have Justin Purser. We're going to find out what he's all about a little later. I'm not sure. And of course, our fabulous guest today, Divya.
Hi.
Hello. All right. So we are kind of going to get right into it. But first, anything you'd like to plug, Divya? You know, your Instagram? I don't think that needs any plugging, really, to be honest. But if you must, go ahead.
Well, I guess I would, you know, I'm not really doing any events anytime soon. So I guess I would plug my Instagram and my website, both of which are Gotham Taxidermy.
Any underscores that we should know about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. On Instagram, it's Gotham_Taxidermy, and my website is just GothamTaxidermy.com.
That's great to know. That's, I don't know what I'm saying here.
Those underscores will get you every time. Justin can speak. He's just having a rough time.
Yeah. When I hear the word underscore, my brain just, it doesn't go. You know what I got? You guys, I probably need to run to CVS and get some medicine.
Justin, what is going on over there?
Nothing. I got a new microphone. So do I sound better than I did on the first episode?
Yes, you sound 10 times better, and I can actually understand you. And hopefully, since we talked last time, the printer is still working. I'm not sure if you knew this, Divya, but last episode, we kind of did a panic buy, and we got a printer. So I think we own the only brother printer in the country right now. So
that's great. That's amazing. Thanks to panic buy, too.
Oh, it's the best. Like that, you know, they recommend like panic
practical.
Buying printers. Oh, 100, totally.
Yeah.
Practical. And it's like, it'll probably go up in value. As you know, we have a random list of questions, and we ask 5 questions off that list of, I think it's 11 or 12 now. I can't remember the total, but so what we're doing, we're going retro trek right now. So what we do is we actually print out the questions. I have them in a bowl right here, and then I pull them at random.
That's amazing.
It's called Retro Tech.
We got your writer, Divya, all green M&Ms. You should have those, which is really good. Okay, so kind of jumping into things. You went to Pratt University. Why do I feel at some point in time you spoke at Pratt? I feel like you did. Or am I just imagining that?
No, I did. Yeah, I spoke there. It was a pretty long time ago that I spoke there. I think it was like the year that I actually quit my day job and started doing taxidermy full time.
Because I remember there was like a flyer or something, and you know, I'm kind of a nostalgic type person, so I was trying to find it and to no avail. So I thought maybe I was just imagining that. So thankfully I was not.
You were not.
All right, Justin, let's get to the questions in the bowl.
Okay, questions in the bowl. I like that. Hey, that's what we'll call this segment, questions in the bowl. But before I dip my hand in the bowl, tell our audience, whoever's listening, if you're listening, you're our audience, what did you do before you decided to go full-time taxidermy?
Yeah, so before I went full-time into taxidermy, I was a fashion designer, more specifically a shoe designer, shoes and accessories, and other leather goods. So that's what I did. I'm still making things out of animal products, but I think it's just a little different now.
I have to ask, what happened with the animal shoes? Now, I know this was a while back, but yeah, there were animal shoes, I feel.
There were. So those were just sort of art pieces that I made. And, you know, I have them. They've been used in a few photo shoots. And it's not like they're a shoe that, you know, you'd wear to take on the subway or anything like that.
Animal were the shoes made out of?
Well, they're made out of leather, but they also had birds on them too. They also had English sparrows on them.
Sort of your specialty, right?
Yep. Birds are my specialty. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a question. Do you think those shoes will be as valuable as our brother printer one day?
I think you know what? It really depends on what our culture starts to value. Cause I think that printer is probably going to be, with most people's attitudes towards wildlife, I think that printer is sadly going to be more valuable than those shoes.
That's interesting. Yeah, we're hoping so.
I love those shoes. And actually, I don't know if you know this, but Justin has made some movies, documentary. Justin, this is something you can make a documentary about. Why don't you get out there with a camera crew and do a documentary on these shoes? And you know, you call it The Walk of Life. And I think. I think this would be good.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
taxidermy. I grew up in Florida and I've seen a lot of taxidermy in my life because everything has taxidermy there. Yeah. Including like relatives, humans. and you probably know this, in CVS in Florida, you can buy a taxidermied alligator head.
You can. Yeah.
Yes.
It is very Florida to have that.
Yeah.
Is that like a CVS brand? Like, do they have, is that like CVS generic?
I guess.
Do you get rewards points on it?
Ooh, you do. Yeah. You get $2 extra bucks for every alligator. Yeah, I have a question. Where do you get the animals that you taxidermy? Is it mainly that people bring them to you to preserve their beloved pets?
Not always. So I do have like a limited number of commissions that I open up for pets. But most of what I do, like if I'm doing stuff for, if I'm doing stuff for like a museum or something, they bring me the specimens because most of the time they need to, you know, it needs to be permitted through them. Mm-hmm. But if I'm doing stuff where I'm making art pieces and stuff like that, a lot of the animals I get are domestically raised. So since I work on birds, a lot of them come from aviaries or zoos, or there's this whole world of, there's a whole world of bird people who raise exotic pheasants, you know, exotic mm-hmm. parrots and things like that, selling the deceased specimen to a taxidermist. So that's where I get most of my animals from. Certain birds are not protected. So in the U.S., we have English sparrows and European starlings, which are invasive species. So those you can pick up as roadkill. I know that people also... especially along the migratory paths in the Midwest, there are sort of sponsored like abatement programs where people go and collect them or they go and remove them from native bluebird habitat or just any native bird habitat because As beautiful and cute as those birds are, they actually kill like baby bluebirds and stuff. It's pretty brutal. So a lot of, you know, there are companies who do abatement work, you know, they will sell those specimens to taxidermists too. But they usually, you know, they're dispatched in the most, you know, it has to be dispatched in like a humane way.
Well, here's my question. You had friends forever for a while. And then we, well, you pivoted, not we, I don't know why I keep saying we. You pivoted to Gotham. I just want to know how this happened.
So this was a name change. You changed the name of your business from Friends Forever to Gotham.
Gotham, you know, sort of like a nickname for New York City. There's not like a ton of taxidermy here. So I kind of wanted to have a name that reflected or that referred to the surroundings I'm in.
I think this is what really happened. I didn't get my autograph book. You were Friends Forever prior. Yeah. And then you were like, ha, Montana never got his autograph book. This is a perfect time to change to Gotham. And that's what happened. And you know what? That's awesome because I actually like both names equally, but Gotham does make a little bit more sense.
Maybe one day you'll taxidermy Batman himself. That would be
amazing. or Justin, perhaps.
I hope not. No.
Hey, is anyone ever, you're not allowed to do that, but I wonder if you could put that in your will, because I would love to be taxidermied if that's a possibility.
You know, it's legal stuff involved, and I don't think you'll find many taxidermists who would do the job. I certainly would not.
I will go high and low to get Justin taxed. No, I'm kidding.
We're going to raise money. That's what Young Flamingo Club actually is. It's a front to raise money to taxidermy me.
There is like this guy, Jeremy Bentham, I think the name is, and he was a philosopher in England at sometime in the 1800s, and he was, I guess, an example of human taxidermy, and he's around. I think he visited the Met, well, his body, his remains, visited the Met, I think it was the Met, it was, I think in 2018?
It was. I was there. I actually partied with him that night. We went out and around the city.
Okay, so everyone is actually dead at the Met. All right, that makes sense.
I have a question. Do you have pets of your own?
I do.
Are you going to taxidermy them?
No, I won't. I will, you know, for me, I just know the process so much, and I wouldn't want to think of them going through that process. But, you know, I do work on other people's pets, but I don't really, like, I don't really take a ton of pets in because I really want to make sure the person who wants that done is, you know, has like the right reasons and has like the right expectations, because, you know, if someone wants that done to bring their pet back, it's not going to ever be the same. I wouldn't want to remember my pets in that way because, you know, taxidermy is like a still image. It's like a still picture. It's not going to be as like even the best taxidermist in the world, they can't capture like the 10 to 20 or even 30 years of companionship that a pet can bring you.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's interesting though. I probably will be contacting you at some point. I have a pet rock, and when that pet rock passes away, I do want to taxidermy it, and I don't want you to try to talk me out of it. I don't know when it's going to pass away though. I've had it since I was a child.
I mean, still... those pet rocks can outlive us.
I can. Yeah, it might outlive me. Yeah. So, well, let's get into our questions. This is fantastic, by the way, and you could probably go on for hours. It's like what you do is so rare, unique, and fascinating.
Thank you and
available at CVS, so
weird. I have to say, I can't not mention this about the alligator heads. So those heads are, you know, they're prepared a bunch of different ways, but a lot of them are just like dried out and shellacked. They're they're not like fully like a taxidermist would actually have to, you know, to skin the animal and mount it on a form. I think the heads at CVS and at the gas stations and stuff, I think there a lot of them are just dried out and shellacked. Okay. So.
To be clear, CVS does not sponsor this podcast, but if they do, go to www.cvs.com, pick up your prescriptions now. And taxidermy alligator heads.
Yeah. Prescription, taxidermy alligator head. And a fun life hack is you can use the receipt as a scarf because it's so long when it's cold.
Yeah, you can use your seat as a scarf. Or I also saw someone that clipped them into like vertical blinds and made curtains out of them. Or, you know, sort of made window blinds out of them.
I like that. Yeah, I could shellac those and make vertical blinds. Yeah, I like it.
So much shellacking.
So much shellacking. Also, just to be clear, shellacking does not sponsor this podcast, even though we've spoken about it a lot. Okay, so here I go. I have the bowl. I have the printer. I printed out the questions on our brother printer, which is helping us raise funds.
The only one in the country. Remember that.
Only one in the country. When the value raises, we will sell it, so it will be available.
I wonder if that brother printer can print out a long CVS receipt.
Oh, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we could sell it to CVS.
It's a possibility. Code Flamingo.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to pull one out of the bowl. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What was the first thing you ever wanted to be as a child? Either like a job or a passion or anything, like, you know, when the kid says, you know, when I grow up, I want to be.
Ooh, I wanted to be a veterinarian. That was the first job I wanted to have.
So that's interesting. So you want to be a veterinarian and now you're a taxidermy. Did you just always have a love of animals?
Yeah, I did. I've always loved animals. I think what drove me away from being a vet is, the schooling, you know, there's a lot of schooling involved in it. But also you're dealing with people in a way that that as a taxidermist or as an artist, you don't have to. Like, veterinarians have to deal with, you know, you have to deal with some really rough stuff, and it can be pretty emotional to talk to someone who's, you know, whose pet might be sick or whose pet might be dying. So I felt like I wasn't emotionally cut out for that work in that way.
That's so you went from wanting to be a veterinarian to becoming a fashion designer and then into taxidermy, which sort of ties it together in a obtuse way.
Yep. I think so.
It's a great word, obtuse. And actually, I've read stuffed animals. So theoretically, I think I know maybe how to taxidermy. I just have to try it once because I read your guide. And hopefully, if I try it, I can just remember everything that you wrote. And maybe I'll be good. Maybe not. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. I think this is something.
Well, next time I'm there, we should totally try to taxidermy something. That'd be fun.
You guys could use my pet rock. You could try that.
Yeah, we could work on the pet rock. That's what we can do.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't mind. okay, so that's
obtuse.
It was very obtuse. I don't even know if that's the right word. It's just popped into my head.
I don't think it's the right word.
Okay, if it's not, I will I'll just re-record it. It's something that sounds better.
CVS.com.
Yes.
CVS.com, offer code Flamingo.
Yeah. Well, every time we say CVS, we get $20. So we're up right now.
Just keep plugging away, guys. Plugging away.
Plugging away. Okay, here we go. Question number two. What's been, we asked this question before too. This is a double question.
I hope my answer will be the same.
Well, not a question, same question to you. We asked it on our first episode. So our listeners are familiar with it. So, but it's interesting to be the different answers between the two of you. What's been the most challenging period of your life and how did you overcome it?
Ooh, I think the most challenging period of my life would have been maybe like 3 or 4 years out of college. Between 2 to 4 years out of college, that was probably one of the most challenging periods. Just because, you know, you go to art school, you kind of have this idea of what it's going to be like as a working, you know, as a working artist or a working designer, as I was at that time. Well, no one really told me, or any of my colleagues, how the corporate side of fashion really works and how most of your time isn't really spent being creative, like sketching and stuff like that. You're spending a lot of time on, you know, on logistical stuff or on, you know, on production stuff and things, you know, and things that are, you know, things that are not purely creative. So I was sort of struggling with wondering if I had made the right decision, if like, you know, if if I should still be working in fashion, if I should still be doing any of the things that I thought I wanted to do. So there, I was just asking a lot of questions about what was I supposed to do in life. And I guess the way I overcame it was just indulging that curiosity by just trying all the things that I was like, all right, well, you know, I have this, you know, I had this job, I had this full-time fashion job. So I was like, well, let me pursue my hobbies with more passion on the side and see what happens. So I think that's how, I overcame it, was just being very indulgent with my curiosity without putting myself in danger.
And look, nobody told you, obviously, as well, you're going to be on a podcast, you know, maybe five, 6 years later talking about CVS and, you know, receipts of scarves, you know, nobody tells you that.
Look at you now.
Now I wish I would go, I wish I had gone to school. If I could do one thing, I would go back in time. I would go to school and do my senior thesis, making nothing but things out of CVS receipts.
Oh, wow.
I would just do that.
I mean, you know, what you just said too, I think for all our young listeners out there,
Hood Flamingo.
I think it's almost like, I feel like what you said, everyone should hear before they go to college, because you're not alone. I feel like that happens quite often. Like, you know, what you go to school for, you know, some people get, you know, halfway through what they're going to school for and realize that's not even what they want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially with fashion, you know, a lot of people that get into fashion think it's like this like glamorous, you know, lifestyle. And, you know, even what I do, entertainment, and I'm sure what Montana does too with, you know, apps stuff. Everyone thinks it's like this, like, you know, glamorous lifestyle, and you make all this money and you're doing all these creative, wonderful things. But there's a lot of stuff that comes with it that isn't, you know, I always tell people, you know, as a director, I think actually directing, it's probably like 10% of the job. The rest of the job is everything before and after. The actual, like, the stuff you see on TV with sitting in the chair and making the decisions, I feel like anyone can do that. It's the point, it's the preparation in the post. And I feel like it's fashion's like that too. How much more creative do you get to spend in, because I know you obviously have a business, how much more creative do you get to spend now in what you do versus when you were doing fashion?
I would say that it's a lot more creative time, just because I manage every aspect of, you know, anything that has anything from Gotham Taxidermy is made by me. So it's way more creative time. But that's not to say there isn't, you know, like a lot of my time is spent on emails. A lot of my time is spent on, you know, on those, like doing taxes and, you know, doing stuff to keep my LLC up to date, you know, all of that really not so savory stuff. But I think the difference is that I love what I'm doing now, so I don't mind the non-creative part as much. And I think a lot of the reason for that is, well, like taxidermy as an art form, and historically, you know, to condense like hundreds of years of history into one podcast episode, into one mention in a podcast episode. basically there's a lot of it that's not been accessible. It's been, you know, throughout time, it's been a bit of a secretive art form. You know, and it also carries with it a little bit of taboo because it involves death and it involves dead animals, and, you know, and for good reason, people are very sensitive. Those are all very sensitive topics. But with the internet and with Instagram and social media, there's so much, there's a community for everything. And so kind of finding that community and building that community has been really, you know, it's been really wonderful, because you kind of find, you find other people who are into what you're into, and you're able to sort of tell the stories in a way that haven't been told before. Even when I was in college, like if I wanted to look up, like, you know, how do I do taxidermy? There were so few websites. And now when you go online, there are tons of, you know, there are tons of videos, tons of websites, there are tons of different people doing it. So there's sort of, where before there's probably just like one or two different resources.
And, you know, to kind of speak on the website of things, if anyone thinks software development is glamorous, yes, that's very glamorous. I just bought my third box of White Castle frozen cheese. I gotta say, it's going good. It's going good. We're going good. Way better than I expected.
Tech is the next, like, Hollywood in a sense, but Montana can attest to that. That even with all his success, he's still eating frozen White Castles. He doesn't even heat them up. He eats them frozen.
He eats them frozen. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Right. True. And this goes down the same track as that Brother printer. The microwave that I have, it does not work. It's a Casio. No harm to Casio, but I'm just saying I have to eat them frozen. You are right, Justin. So the glamorous side of software, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe that is glamorous. I don't know. But I'm just telling you what I go through.
Your experience. Yeah, we appreciate that. Next question. Oh, wow. I don't even, this is like a gift from God.
It's uncanny.
It's uncanny. This is like a gift from God. If you could be any animal, what would you be?
Ooh, this is a really good one. And my answer changes all the time. I think I would be a harpy eagle. If you're near a computer, just look them up. They're gorgeous. They're amazing birds of prey. They're really, really beautiful. They're huge. They're this really giant eagle. And you know, I love birds. I love little birds. Like when I go bird watching, I get most excited about seeing little warblers and sparrows and stuff like that. But there's sort of something about a bird of prey by having that power of flight, but also being a bit of a predator, where they combine that grace and elegance with that, you know, that sort of sharp and deadly hunting ability. There's something that is so freaking cool about that.
That's interesting because Montana, he considers himself a harpy eagle when he hunts his White Castle frozen burgers.
That's 100% true.
100%. I would see Montana as a young flamingo.
Oh.
And, like, you know, speaking of flamingos, Divya's Instagram is heavily flamingo based now. I just realized that after, well, not just realized, but I've been scrolling through your photos and a lot of flamingos.
Lot of flamingos, yeah.
Oh, the tie-in, the brand tie-in.
It's a brand tie-in.
I'm actually looking at these eagles right now, and these are amazing. I think I recently saw them. Do you follow that Nature's Metal on Instagram?
Yes. Yeah. They're regularly featured on there.
Yeah, that's where I saw them. They're really cool. Yeah. Wow.
Their habitat is cool too, because they're like neotropical. So I'm like, that's also my favorite type of weather. So
of course.
So I'm like, you know, not only are you this elegant and fierce predator, you're in this gorgeous, you know, this gorgeous habitat.
It's
gorgeous. That's Justin's raver name, Neotropical. So that's
Neotropical. Yeah, yeah. You can find me on SoundCloud. I have three followers right now. So if you could maybe make it four, that I'd appreciate that. Have you ever taxidermied one of these harpy eagles?
No, I mean they're super rare. It would have to be for a museum or something because they're almost extinct. So they're heavily, you know, stuff like that is heavily regulated, but it would definitely be it would be a very dreamy project to have the privilege of working on an animal like that, for sure. Yeah. It's funny because with like bird watching, there are like your bucket list birds or your lifer birds, but then with taxidermists, I think a lot of us have our sort of bucket list sort of specimens that we'd want to work on.
Here we go. What's your bucket list of specimens?
Well, you've got that one harpy eagle. That'd be one of them.
Yep.
I would really love to also work on a bird of paradise, like any of them. There's, you know, there are so many types of birds of paradise, but any of those would be really, really, really cool to work on. I think I'll stick with those two for now because I could just go on, like, you know, if it's got wings, I probably would be very excited about working on it.
Mm.
Justin, can you do me a favor? Can you actually add that question to every guest, please?
Which one was it?
What's your favorite specimen?
Yeah, let's just do it.
Thank you.
I'm adding it in right as we speak. It's going on live.
And it could be anything. It could really be anything.
Yeah. Okay, so next question. What time do you wake up and what time do you go to bed? And you could tell us what you do in COVID and how that's different from pre-COVID.
Sure. So in COVID, it is so variable. it is not regular at all. I won't give any kind of facade of like, yeah, I do. I have regular rise and sleep time. So I can wake up anywhere between 5 to 8 a.m. and I go to bed anywhere between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. So, and that's just because, like, you know, COVID has just like upended any kind of sense of routine I have. And sometimes, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, because when it's not COVID, I'm working at a, I work part-time at a museum taxidermy studio. So then, you know, I've got like that regular, there's that regular routine of like leaving home and doing, you know, and doing that job. But in COVID, I'm just, you know, I'm in my home and I'm at my studio all day. So if creativity hits me, if I'm just like, I want to work on this thing, I'll just work on it.
Yeah, my days are just blended, to be honest. They just go up and yeah. Like, the sun comes up, you know.
Montana, aren't you mainly working at nights now, right?
Yep, working nights, you know, doing the software engineering thing, eating frozen cheeseburgers, living the glam life.
This is so glamorous, yeah. Yeah,
the tech life, I tell you.
And I think really, you know, once CBS starts sponsoring this podcast, I think it could get really glam.
Yeah.
So just hang in there.
I think if CBS sponsors this podcast, they need to send us some melatonin.
Yes, like, that's great.
Subscribe us to melatonin.
My cycle's all messed up. I don't even know what day it is.
Do you prefer how it is now with not having to wake up and have a certain schedule, like you said, you know, before when you had to work at the museum? And are you going to go back to the museum hours?
Yeah, I'll be going back to that pretty soon. That studio was sort of out just outside of the city. It was in New Jersey. So mm-hmm. I'll be going back to that pretty soon. I kind of liked how, like, there are certain things, I think, within COVID, being able to just work on my stuff exclusively has sort of reshifted or helped me reexamine the priorities I had. Before COVID, I would just sort of take on a lot more work than, honestly, I was taking on a lot more work than I wanted to, kind of in a way that was not like, it wasn't really overextending myself, but I was taking on jobs that I wasn't necessarily like 1,000% fulfilled by, which is really an amazing place to be in, you know, to be able to turn down work while so many other people are not able to. But I think with COVID, it kind of made me want to reexamine, like, what am I working on and how am I working on it? And what's the best use of, you know, what's the best use of my limited time here?
So, yeah. So, all right. So let's get back. This is our final question. It feels like we could do this forever.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like we could do this forever.
Friends forever.
yeah. Now Gotham. Do you think about how technology has enabled you to succeed in life, or has it hindered you? And what we mean by that is, like, you know, basically every industry, every medium has been, it's almost like you mentioned before how, you know, like you could only go and find 2 books in the library on taxidermy, and now you can Google it and there's a million different things. And that's, you know, across the board of everything. And so in some cases it helps, but also, you know, it opens it up to so much more competition and everything. How do you feel that, has that enabled you or has it hindered you?
I think I would say it's definitely enabled me, because I wouldn't be able to do what I do without, you know, without technology, because so much of my business is based on, you know, it's based on just sharing it with the world, you know, just based on whether it's on social media or my website or anything like that. Like any kind of advertising I do is online. So in that sense, any kind of community building I do is mostly online, which leads to stuff, you know, which leads to stuff that happens in person. But I think technology has opened this field up so much more.
It makes sense, because, you know, like it probably opens up so many more people that would never see that much taxidermy or know much about it. Because where would you see it?
But absolutely,
you know, like you were mentioning with, you know, with these platforms like Instagram and TikTok and everything, it's like, you know, so much. I think we all learn so much more. Our brains, we learn so much more than we ever would have, just because we can. So,
yeah, I learned how to dance,
and even like
on TikTok,
exactly. Well, via TikTok.
Speaking of how to dance, you've got to see that flamenco dance. There's this very famous flamingo. I think he's in Orlando, who has a viral video of him dancing.
Archive.org, your old website, Divya. Obviously, D-I-. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff. all the CV, everything there is so interesting. Kind of brings back some memories for me, seeing the stuff that you posted on Facebook back in the day, and to see you transform into this, an Instagram celebrity. I mean, we're kind of being humble here, right? I mean, that's why we bought you the billboard. Okay, Justin and I, we scraped together, you know, some money, and you have a billboard right in Manhattan. So we'll give you the address after the show, and put it up. Just put it.
And
right
guess
up
what?
There.
Guess what business that billboard's over?
A CVS.
No, Duane Reade.
Oh wow.
Oh, no, I was just kidding. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Like, this was
a blast.
Yeah, this is so much fun, and just getting to know more about taxidermy and what you do. And it's, I've always wondered how people get into it, and now I know how you got into it. So
yeah, thank you. I
think this is the first podcast I've ever done where Uranus, CBS, and flamingos were all mentioned.
Hey. We hit the best topics. That's our goal.
You really did. This has been hilarious and fantastic.
Uranus, CVS, everything mentioned on the Young Flamingo Club.
I don't think we've talked about CVS enough, but I think maybe we should in the wrap up. What do you think, Montana?
I think CVS is probably wrapped up with receipts. Divya, obviously, I hope you come back. I mean, I don't even think that's a question.
Well, thank you so much. We'll hopefully have you on again.
Sounds fun.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye. We are now going to make a decision if Divya should be a part of the Young Flamingo Club. I'm going to say a big 100% yes. And the reason being is the amount of talent and the niche talent that Divya has. It's really rare to come across this type of artist and how much skill Divya actually has. So I think, 100% yes for me.
I was just Googling Harpy Eagles because she had mentioned those and how cool they are. And I think I might get a Harpy Eagle tattoo. So
it's a really good idea.
Yeah, if I'm going to get a tattoo based on something a guest brought up to us, I'd say yes. Also, I agree with you that she is a honorary member of the Young Flamingos Club and that she has accessed all the perks that are available.
100%. And that also means an email address. We're trying to get it at youngflamingo.club email address, more prestigious than harvard.edu.
Yeah, it's in the near future for sure. So, but yeah, what a great guest. Keep them coming.
Oh, they will. I'll be watching TLC every day.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you next episode.
Thank you, guys.